Like a copy of God's word. Bible, that is New Testament. It is charity offered to you without cost or obligation to you, that is. If you'd like to have one, then do feel free to come and ask for one. It is all said and done, God's word, and the ability to do you good, your best good, because, you know, to draw near to God is to draw near to the one who can do you the best good, bring joy, happiness, bring contentment, satisfaction, bring hope, love, bring, of course, forgiveness, the source of all these blessings, you know, reconciliation to God, right with God, and then opposed from that, of course, all these manifold blessings. So you'd like to check it out, read God's word, see for yourself that these things indeed are so, that I speak to you all. It's all about Jesus, you know, he's the one who brings the blessings, he's the one who did the work. Your work and mine's no good. It takes the person and the work of Jesus to make a man, a woman right with God. So if you like a copy of God's word, then do feel free to come and ask for one. Yours for the taking. The Bible says, you know, quite clearly that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's a terrible thing, don't you know, to be displeasing to anybody. There's none of us really, really want to incur the displeasure of anybody. You know, family members or friends, you know, I'm sure the discomfort that that brings, knowing that you're at loggerheads, knowing that somebody, mother, father, siblings, you know, are displeased with you. You know, we're all, in a sense, we're all men pleasers. You know, we want to, you know, we want to be pleasing to everybody. But, you know, to be at loggerheads with God, to be displeasing to God, well, that's another dimension altogether. You know, it's, you know, going up the ladder. Your siblings is one thing. Mother, father, or maybe, you know, the state, the laws of the state, you know, as the authority goes up, situation gets worse. But to be displeasing to Almighty God, the one who's your maker, and the one, of course, who's your ultimate provider, and the one, of course, who one day will be your judge. Well, to be displeasing to him, that's not a good thing. So how do you incur, how do you get the pleasure of God? How do you get on the right side of God? How do you get in a state, a condition, or a place? What do you have to do in order to get or to be pleasing to God? Well, the Bible says, those, that is, who are in the flesh, cannot please God. So what does it mean to be in the flesh? Well, it's the opposite, it's the contrary to be in the Spirit. Jesus, he says that the flesh profits nothing, and it's the Spirit, of course, that gives life. To be in the flesh, of course, well, that's to be in your natural born state and condition. You know, it's the way you're born. It's a natural state. And of course, well, the Bible says too, just prior to this, you know, that the sinful mind, the carnal mind, the natural mind, if you like, you know, the natural state and condition, in the flesh is that you're an enmity against God, hostile to God. Can't be no other. Can't be subject to the law of God. That's an impossibility in your natural born state and condition in the flesh. You got to get in the spirit. You got to be spiritually born, reborn, as Jesus puts it. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. This is an impossibility in your natural state and condition. Your desires are not for God. Naturally speaking, you don't come into the world with a raging thirst for God. You don't come into the world with a hunger, an insatiable hunger, you know, for the Almighty, for God. You know, it's a fact, you know. It's a fact. There's not a thought of God in your hearts and minds this morning. When you woke up, what was your first thought this morning? What will I eat today? What will I drink today? What will I wear today? But you didn't think, you know, how shall I glorify and enjoy God today? He wasn't in all your thoughts. He's never in your thoughts. The only time He's in your thoughts is when somebody like myself is out in the street preaching about God. And of course, how do you feel? How do you react to that? Well, with hostility, with enmity, with anger, because it's displeasing to you. The very thought of God gives you no pleasure, but His thought of you gives Him no pleasure either, because they that are in the flesh cannot please God, cannot be pleasing to God in any way, shape or form whatsoever. You see, it's the way in which you're conceived. It's the way in which you're begotten, you see. You got no parents who were in the flesh before you. And of course, well, you know, you get children in your own likeness. You can't get a clean thing out of an unclean. So how can you get clean kids out of unclean parents? You see, you're born of unclean parents. You come into the world unclean, displeasing to God. Conceived in sin, born in sin, the Bible says, and shapen in iniquity. A sinner, you know, a sinner. There you are, lying in your cradle, and everybody's smiling at you. You're oblivious to the fact, of course. Oh, what a beautiful, what a lovely child. It doesn't enter anybody's mind to speak the truth, the reality, and say, oh, what another wicked sinner, vile sinner, born into the world. Because that's the truth of the matter. And it's not long, even before you speak your first word, you've sinned, you've rebelled against the Almighty. So you see, you're born, you're conceived, and you're born in sin. And the sinful practice, well, you know, that just follows on perfectly naturally. These are in the flesh, you see, they cannot please God. And that's how the most of you, you know, you're conceived, you're born that way, and you live that way. Your thoughts and your words and your actions too are all contrary to God, displeasing to God, because in the flesh, you see, well, you might say, well, I do some good things. I try to help the poor. I give money to them. You know, I try to feed the poor, you know, and help those who are downtrodden, help those who are, you know, worse off than I myself. So I do some good sometimes, but if it's in the flesh, you see, if it's not done spiritually, if it's not done from a spiritual nature, but it's still displeasing to God, because they that are in the flesh, they cannot please God, no matter what you do. You see, you can't work your way back to God. You can't gain brownie points. You can't get likes from God. You may have got many likes this morning on your Facebook page. Maybe you got 100, 1,000. Maybe you're one of these very popular dudes, and you're always getting a load of likes on your Facebook page because everybody likes you. Everybody but God, that is. No, those who are in the flesh, they cannot please God. They cannot get likes from God. They cannot get any approval from God whatsoever, no matter what they do, no matter how much perceived goodness. You know, you see, friends, you see, if it's not done for the glory of God, most of the goodness is done by mankind. It's done for self-gratification. You know, it's done for your pleasure. It's to make you feel good. Well, you know, I gave some money to that homeless guy. I bought my meal, you know. I do this for the poor, for the blind, the destitute, and so on. You know, but it's for your own pleasure. It's for your own gratification. It's to make you feel good, you know, about yourself. You see, there's nothing good in any one of us. There's none good, says God, no, not even one. None righteous. Not in the flesh, anyway, that is. You gotta be born of the Spirit, you see. It's gotta be a spiritual rebirth. There's gotta be a cataclysmic change in the nature. It's a deep-seated nature that hates God, you see, that hates holiness, that hates the glory of God, and hates the very thought, the very idea of doing things not for yourself, but doing them for God. They that are in the flesh, they cannot please God. You got to get out of the flesh, you see. The flesh has got to be put to the sword. It's got to be nailed to the cross of Jesus. It's got to be crucified. It's got to be dead to yourself and alive to God. Well, you see, it's the state of every single one of us as we're born into this world in the flesh, natural state and condition, displeasing to God. Born shaping in iniquity and sin and living in sin. And I think it would be a fair assessment, you know, to say that, well, the majority, what, 99%? Would that be too much? Is that gross? No, I don't think so, really. To say that 99% of you, under the sound of my voice here, in the city of Nottingham this afternoon, you'll die the same way in which you were born. You'll go out of this world in sin, same way in which you were born, and the same way in which you have lived. You see, unless there's been a change, unless there's been a cataclysmic change in your nature, and you see, it's not just a matter, you know, of being religious. You'd be religious and still be in the flesh, you know. That's the majority. No, not the majority. That's all of your world's religion. You know, Islam, Buddhism, Confucianism, Roman Catholicism. It's all the flesh. It's all the flesh. It's all of man. It's all of natural man. It's not spiritual. There's no life of God in it. There's no power of God in it. It may have the form of godliness, but without the power thereof, the Bible says. Because it's in the flesh, you see. It's in the flesh. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Whatever you do in the flesh, whatever you do in your natural state and condition, try and build a great big tower and reach up to God. God will just blow on it. knock it over. You know, you can work and work and work the world over. You know, whenever I go in this world, I find religious people, religious confusion, men and women who are working, toiling, hard, devoted to their religion, so devoted, so sincere, and yet so wrong, because still in the flesh, and therefore displeasing to God. You cannot please God in the flesh, in your natural, born state and condition. God says so, He Himself. You gotta be born of the Spirit. You gotta be born again. That flesh life has to go away. That natural life has to be surrendered. It has to be forsaken unless you can forsake everything, everything, even your own sin-filled, vomit-filled, sinful life. Unless you can forsake it, you cannot be my disciple. You see, friends, there's a cost to God's salvation. And Jesus bids you, Jesus bids men and women to count the cost. Have you got enough to build a godly character? You start in the flesh. You start in your own strength. With your own natural gifts, you're going to fail. You're going to fall flat in your face. And all your buddies will be laughing at you. Oh, he started out to be a Christian, but look at him. He's back in the boozer. He's back in the drugs. He's back to his old ways again. You see, it takes more than the flesh. It takes more than natural gifts. It takes the gift of God, the supernatural power of God, to make a man, a woman, a Christian. Then, of course, you know, in becoming a disciple of Jesus, well, you're entering into a war, the mother of all wars, a fight, friends, all that ends only in the glory of heaven. But you enter into this warfare, you know, you think you can fight it in your own strength, in your own natural ability. You think you can do it with a little bit of religion, you know, with a little bit of lip service to God and the things of God. But you're going to be defeated. You're going to be lifting your hands up to the enemy.
Jesus
was louder than Nephi. No, Jesus lifted up his voice and 10,000 people could hear him. Repent and believe the gospel, man. Repent and believe the gospel. So like they say, in your natural state and condition, soon. What's up, guys? What's up? Come on, talk to me. You should repent, young man. Repent and believe the gospel. So like you say, friends, you know, you enter this warfare in your own strength, with your own weapons, and your own power. It won't be long before you hold your hands up to the enemy. Surrender. I give up. You know, friends, now you need the grace of God. You need the power of King Jesus. Friends, without grace, without a spiritual life, without spiritual power, without the power of God, you can't fight. You can't fight this fight and win. You're talking about a fight against evil, the powers of darkness, Satan. You're talking about horrendous powers that move in heavenly realms, and you think you can fight it and win? You know, with your natural ability. I mean, who do you think you are? You got nothing, absolutely nothing but the flesh. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's an impossibility. Friends, you gotta come down, you know? And you gotta get down. You gotta get down on your face before the cross and cry out to God that He gives you the grace, that He gives you what you need. That is, that you be reborn, because you cannot be pleasing to God. You cannot do this thing. You cannot be my disciple. You know, would you be willing to forsake father, mother, husband, wife, sibling? Would you be prepared to stand against them? Would you be prepared to put Jesus first, to put Him before even those who you love dearly, even family members? If you can't forsake them, if you can't forsake everything, all your vomit-filled life of sin, if you cannot forsake that, you cannot be my disciple, Jesus said. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. You got to get the Spirit of God in you. You got to be filled with the Spirit. You got to be anointed in the Spirit of God. You got to be baptized. You know, some people think they get baptized in water, you know, that that'll do it. Some people, you know, call themselves Roman Catholics, and they think that they were born again because they were baptized, you know, by some priest when they were little bit children. That's not the spiritual rebirth. That's not being born again. You can be baptized in water. You can be baptized in the Atlantic Ocean. You can be baptized in the Pacific Ocean. That will not change your nature. That will not take you out of the flesh. That will not put you in the Spirit. You've got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost must fall upon you. Spirit of God must fall upon you and slay you, and slay that flesh life, that natural state and condition that you're in. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's impossible. Everything about you is just the flesh. It's just your natural state and condition. So whatever you do, works of charity, religious works, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're in the flesh. If you're still in the flesh, you're displeasing to God, unacceptable to God. You do not have His approval. You have to be in the Spirit. You have to be born again of the Spirit of God. What Jesus means, what He says in the Bible, you must be born again. You must be born again. Why? Well, because Jesus says so. That'll do. You must be born again. Except a man be born again, He says, cannot see, perceive, that is, cannot understand, cannot grasp, cannot get it, you know, the kingdom of God. Don't even understand it. It's like a fairy tale to you. What's He talking about? Don't understand. Of course you don't, because you're in the flesh, and they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You don't even begin to understand until you're born again. No desire for God, no love for God, hatred for God even. You're either one of two things. You're either a natural born in the flesh, God hater, or a supernaturally reborn God lover. But nobody ever loved God, desired God, the things of God, the holiness of God, the law of God, the gospel of God, the Son of God, the Spirit of God, until they were born again. Spirit of God must fall upon you and slay you, bring you down, humble you, break you, give you a contrite heart. That's what's pleasing to God, a humble and contrite heart. But there's no, I don't see much, in fact, I don't see any contrition and nothing, huh? heaven because they've offended love and the highest form of love, divine love. I don't see any broken hearted. I don't see any weeping sinners. I don't see any mourners. Mourners after God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. To expect the comfort of God in the flesh, in your natural state and condition. Repent, girls. Repent and believe the gospel. You expect some kind of comfort in all your troubles, all your afflictions and trials. You expect some kind of comfort, some kind of consolation from God. Where's the humility? Where's the contrition? Do you know, any concept, any idea of how far it is you're away from God? Well, you can begin maybe, a perusal of God's commandments. 10 commandments, Exodus chapter 20 and the first 17 verses. Have a look. You shall have no other gods before me. No idol worship. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What were you doing yesterday? Chasing a football or watching somebody else chasing one? Huh? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Huh? Not doing that yesterday, boys. God will damn you to a lofty eternity for that. Just one commandment is enough. Honor thy father and mother. Thou shalt not kill by means of abortion, euthanasia, or anything else in between. Yeah. You see, well, these commandments of God, they're very old-fashioned. They don't have to be a modern society. No, friends, that just shows, if that's your mindset, that just shows you how far away you are from God and His way. 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 miles, eternity away from God, because you're in the flesh, and those commandments are hateful to you, burdensome to you. Nah, dear friends, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You've got to get out of the natural. You've got to get out of the flesh. You've got to get out of that state in which you were born. And friends, that ain't no easy thing. You don't get out of it by paying lip service to God. You don't get out of it, by saying a little bitty prayer to God. Attendance in a church, maybe throwing a few coins, in the offering bowl. No, you don't get out of the flesh by means of doing anything yourself. There's nothing that you can do to get yourself out of the flesh. God must do it. Born of God, Jesus said. The Bible, John chapter 1, read for yourself. Verse 12. Not of the flesh, not of the will of man, but born of God. Something that God done. God working upon the human heart and changing it, giving you a new heart. Circumcision, not of the flesh, but circumcision of your heart, giving you a new nature, a new heart, causing you, as Jesus puts it, to be born again. Then everything is new, you see. Then everything changes. Then your desires change. Even the will changes. Even, friends, a desire to obey God's law, His every precept, His every principle, His every commandment. You become a man, you become a woman. A real man, a real woman. Hey, Christianity, the gospel's not for snowflakes. Gospel make a real man. Gospel make a real woman of you. You know, put principles into you and give you that ability to stand on God's principle, you know, to defy even the state of need be. Yeah, all comers, you know, the world, the flesh, the devil, to stand against them all. But you can't do that in the flesh. You can't do that in your own natural state, your own natural given power. You've got to be born again. Hey, no man, repent and believe the gospel, madam. Won't shut up as long as I've got a breath in my body. I will not shut up. Too important, your souls, your eternal souls hang on this. I'm here because I love you. I'm here because I love your soul. I'm here because I don't want you to be lost. I'm here because I don't want you to die in the flesh. If you die in the flesh, you'll remain that way for all eternity. There's no getting out of the flesh once you're in hell. Friends, we love you and come to tell you the truth. We come to warn you. Come to warn you to flee from the wrath to come. While you still have the time, while you still got the breath of life in you, that God might change you, because you see, people are born again. You see how? Well, in conjunction with the proclamation of the gospel, as I'm doing here today, God's Spirit moves upon the hearts of men and women. Those whom He chooses, of course. Those whom He chooses. He works in their hearts, you see. He gives them the light. He gives them the understanding. You say, well, where would I get light from? Go to Christ. Go to Christ and He will give you light. Light and liberty as well. But of course, in the flesh, you die in the flesh, you know. Well, it's too late then, you know. You got to get out of the flesh now. You got to get out of the flesh. Well, you still get the breath of life in you. You come to your deathbed, you know. Maybe you think, well, I'll get right with God then, you know. I'll yield, I'll surrender myself to God then. That is, if you get a deathbed, you might die in an accident, you might have a heart attack, you know. How you imagine you're going to die might not be the way it actually happens. You might not get that time, that opportunity. But there aren't many people who repent on their deathbed. In fact, there's not many old people that can save. Normally, mostly just young people. I don't say just, but young people. So I see as the days go on, you know, as your life goes on, you don't grow closer to God. You know, you might be dismayed. As an elderly person, you might be dismayed. You might be disappointed at the way the world's going, at the way society's going. And you long, you say, oh, I long for former days when it was better than this. But friends, that wish, that desire, don't make you right with God. That makes no difference how the world's going. It'll carry on long after you're gone. You need to get right with God. Because the older you get, you don't get closer to God. The older you get, the harder you become. The more cynical you become. The more unbelieving you become. The more entrenched in the flesh you are.
Go and get a brain, son.
Huh? Go and get a brain. You young people, I tell you. Huh? Insanity. Is there a sane seen one amongst you young people today. The madness of sin. But that's the flesh. That's the flesh. You delight in the insanity instead of delighting in the things of God. Instead of delighting in God Himself, desiring God Himself. No, you'd rather revel in, you'd rather love it in the insanity that abounds in your society today. So like I say, rather like God says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You have to be born again. You have to be gotten out of the flesh. That flesh has got to be nailed to the cross of Jesus. You've got to be spiritually enlightened. Miracle. God's supernatural act of God. God coming to you and doing for you, taking His surgeon's knife and circumcising your heart. You know? Getting you out of the flesh and into the spirit. Spiritual life, born again from above. Not going back to your mother's womb and be born again naturally. It's being born again from above by the Spirit of God. God Himself coming to you and putting the life of God into your soul. The love of God into your soul. And taking the hatred and taking all that flesh life away, crucifying it and making you a new man, a new woman in Jesus Christ. But here's the thing, friends, that Jesus came for this reason and this purpose. He was born of a woman, born under the law, kept the law perfectly, did that which you cannot do. And He went to the cross and He paid the ultimate penalty of God's law. Death on the cross. Obedience even to the point of death. Death on the cross. And He rose again from the dead. After the third day, Jesus rose again from the dead. And He's alive. He's alive. He's alive! He's alive! Jesus Christ is alive! And therefore, the possibility of your being born again is a real one. Should God so work upon your heart and give to you that which you need, that He should come to you and convict you of the reality of your sinful state and condition, of your abominable and displeasing state in the flesh that is so displeasing to God, and that He might humble you under His mighty hand, because that's not something you'll do yourself either. Not even the desire so to do. So we have to see is down first. You gotta get down first. You gotta get yourself in the dirt first. You gotta get yourself in the dust before the cross of King Jesus. You gotta get yourself down, down, down. You gotta humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And He will exalt you. No, sir. No, sir. I will not. You gotta get down. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And He will perhaps exalt you in due season. But friend, humility. Humility. No, he wasn't. A lot of jokers and nothing of today. But this is no joking matter. This is a serious matter, friends. Your eternal soul hangs upon it. You must be born again. You gotta get out of the flesh. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. You've gotta get out of it. And you gotta get into the Spirit. Or the Spirit's gotta get into you. You gotta get out of your sin life. You gotta be crucified. You gotta bring all the vomit of your sin. You gotta bring it to the foot of the cross and cry out to Jesus, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the way up, and that's the only way up. Seek ye the Lord, Jesus says. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. His way of the flesh, that is, that's displeasing to God. And the unrighteous man is sought. The fleshly thinking. It's also displeasing to God. And let him return unto the Lord, for he will show mercy, abundantly pardon. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the rest shall be added unto you. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. I hear a lot of complainers today here in Nottingham City, more than usual, suggest to me there's a lot of people who are still in the flesh, and you're displeasing to God. Not just your complaints, not just your moaning, not just your crying out for silence, but friends, your very life, nature, every part of your existence in the flesh, displeasing to God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. You must be born again. You must be born again. No other way a man, woman, can enter the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Jesus says so. But he came and he died on the cross, shed his blood on the cross, so loved the world of ruined sinners, fleshly sinners, that he came and lived and loved and died and arose mightily from the grave. That this life, eternal life, abundant life might be yours. I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Is that you? Are you still in the flesh? Are you still in your natural bond, state and condition? Don't let yourself do why. Are you still in the flesh? Or have you been born again? Abundant life in your soul, eternal life, friends, no pleasing God, no lights from God, not today, not tomorrow, not ever, not until you've been born again. You'd like to look into these things. You'd like to think some more about these matters. Don't ask you to take my word. But take God's word for it. Read for yourself. See what God, see what Jesus himself says here in the New Testament. Offered to you free of charge, no cost, no obligation to you, whatever. You respond to take it. Mark's Gospel, for instance, you can read the first recorded words of Jesus in the New Testament. Repent, he says, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The time is fulfilled. Why? Because the King has come, lived and loved and died, and arose again from the dead. Friends, that kingdom has been inaugurated. It waits only to be fully and finally consummated. The kingdom of God, in which will dwell only righteousness, nothing of the flesh, but that which has been born of the Spirit of God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. You must be born again. Take a copy of God's Word. Read for yourself. See that these things are so. Repent and believe the gospel, Nottingham. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. You'd like a copy of God's Word? Come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious, precious soul.